Lubomaya Kiso. A very, very good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I have no complaints. Just sweating over the disciplinary hearing. I've got to go and chair.
Oh, gosh. As long as, you know, rather the chairman than anything, any other position in that. Why is it particularly stressful?
Because I think it was badly prepared by the employer. They didn't get their ducks in a row, and it was, yeah, just frustrating. They could have done a better job, and I think they really botched it. And I need to keep my feelings out of it because there's issues around drugs and weed, and you know, so I'm trying to figure out my own personal views versus what's legal and what's not legal. So,
do we actually even know in South Africa what's legal and not legal with regard to drugs? David Abramson, we've spoken about this before. It's very confusing.
It is very confusing at the moment, you know, whether we are allowed to, or people are allowed to use drugs.
It's not illegal to use drugs. I would imagine, though, it's contrary to any work practice.
Right, and I think it's the amount that one carries. I think, I think if I understand correctly, a certain amount, which I'm not sure of, is for personal use, which seems to be legal now. But, obviously if you've got over a certain amount, then you are seen as dealing. So it is very confusing at the moment. I think people are very confused where the law stands.
David, I think the issue for me is, that's a great area. But let's suppose you wake up in the morning and you puff away at home and then go to the office. Oh. That's my issue is, you legalize it and you talk of personal quantities. Yes. But what about the effects of it? Now this person sits, let's say, somewhere they live in Sandton or wherever, they puff away a couple of joints and get into a car. Can they drive? And when they get to the office, are they competent to work? I mean, I'm a bit naive because I don't smoke this stuff, but there's my question is, the effects of it, you know, when do they wear off and when, what do you do as an employer if a person says, yeah, I had a few joints before I came to work?
I think absolutely. And I think that's where things need to be clarified, because I suppose any substance, including alcohol, if you're going to have a few drinks before work and it makes you incapable of doing your work effectively, to function effectively, then I think the employee has an issue that can be taken up. And I think the same clearly will apply to marijuana.
The challenge I'm finding is that most companies don't specify that. So, I mean, I'm looking at this company, I won't name them, but nowhere in their HR policy do they talk of substance abuse. And the thing that for me was most bizarre is that this NGO, their sole purpose is to help people who are recovering from substance abuse and get them back on, into society. And I'm saying, but guys, I thought this is the one thing that you specifically state in your policy, that you can't regress and go back to substance abuse, but it's almost a generic policy and it says nothing. And so now you're the person who allegedly has used the substances, but your policy says absolutely nothing. And that for me is a craziness.
I just wonder on that point, does your policy have to say everything? You know, does it say that, that you can't steal your co-worker's stationery? Of course it doesn't, because, there's certain things that, I know we're living in an age where nothing or very little is obvious, because many, many rules are thrown out the window. But surely there is this whole area of, you know, when I talk to companies, Luba, I often speak about two concepts. One is the written ground rules, and the second concept is the unwritten ground rules. Maybe this can help you in trying to understand it. The written ground rule says for a particular employee that they might have to be at work at 8:30. They're there till 5. This is the amount of leave that they've got, etc., etc. But every company and every environment has unwritten ground rules. Now, some of those are pretty much common to most companies. So that you can't scream and play loud music in an open office because there are other people working there. Those are kind of common. But then there are unwritten ground rules in companies that are actually different and differ from company to company. So our ground rules might be that we do no harm, we greet each other, we assist where we can. And those aren't written things, but they're unwritten and they're understood by the mini society that we've created within that environment. So,
I agree with you, but here's my problem. Mm. If you run a center to help people who are dealing with alcohol addiction or, let's say, drug addiction, should you not then specify and say, you know what, you're here, we're here to help you, but we will perform, let's say, random tests on you for alcohol or drugs, and you may not default and fall back into that situation. So whereas there's certain things that there's a certain kind of value ethos that I expect from any employee to conduct themselves in, those don't need to be written. But if you are dealing here with specifically people with a particular problem, I think then you need to state that, you know, part of the journey we're going to take with you is that you can't fall back into your old habits. I think to me that one is pretty clear, because if they fall back, then what do you do? Because you can't just say, well, let's assume that you would stick away from drugs. Mm. Assume you would stick away from alcohol. But the very basis of my company is to help you deal with that issue. So I think in that one, there's an obligation for you to be very clear as to what you expect from the person and what you will not tolerate. So I think that's the issue for me.
It's interesting. I hear the dilemma, but I have to say that I tend towards some kind of an understanding that if you are working in this environment and you have been on this journey, that is an assumption. That said, I do think it would be important to state to these employees that if you are feeling at risk, or if you feel that there is a, if you see that you are slipping, that then you need to seek help, and you do need to inform, your supervisor. David, what do you think?
No, absolutely. I think for me, whether a person's got a history of substance abuse or not, I think across the board that, as Luba's saying, I think there needs to be an understanding from the beginning in one's employment contract that one has, there are certain expectations, and no matter what it is that causes you to act in a certain way or not to be able to perform one's duty, that, I think, as Howard says, that there is help available, but, you know, there certainly is a line in the sand where, you know, we are running an organization, we are running a business, or, you know, we are helping people, even if it is with drugs, and if you can't do that, then we reevaluate your employment. So I do think, for me, it's something that companies often don't get right, where they don't cover themselves. And you know, I'm going to be a bit extreme here and say it could be that someone's drinking alcohol in the morning, smoking dacha, or maybe even has a hobby that's taking up too much time. Maybe, you know, is away from the office too much because they're training for a triathlon or a marathon. So it, you know, it could be anything. And I think, you know, as I say, companies, I think, don't cover themselves, enough and, don't make sure that things are put into contracts.
It irks me, some of this, and I'll tell you why. Is I'm petrified of becoming Americanized in this. You know, I always think of the famous case that I think was a Starbucks. Or, no, I'm not sure if it was Starbucks or McDonald's, but it doesn't really matter. Is a person bought a hot coffee, put it between their legs when they were driving, it spilt and burnt them, and then they sued the company and won because it didn't say caution hot coffee or hot product or hot. And I worry about that because, you know, when it's telling you, you know, please do not eat the packaging, really? Really? I mean, have we now been born with absolutely no sense that absolutely we can't think of everything? Because unfortunately, Luba, where's the, you know, if we have to tell people that no, you cannot come to work high, you know, then haven't we just sunk to a whole new level of stupid?
But Howard, here's the problem. You see, I'm not an expert at this thing, but now when I look at the results, I'm being told that, you know, if you smoke your joint, the residual effect of it in your blood or urine, whatever, can stick around for a good couple of days afterwards. So hypothetically, you could sit on Saturday night, have a couple of puffs of the joint, and then on Tuesday, it can still be detected. Now, you're not high. But when I do a blood test, a drug test apparently, I can find evidence that you've used the thing. Now, but you weren't high on Monday, you weren't high on Tuesday. Now, the challenge is smoking that joint is perfectly legal. And that for me is the gray area, because now what do you do? Because essentially somebody says, "You, I look at Howard, he did seem a bit out of sorts on Monday." I mean, there's no proof. Now, because now we're dealing here with almost allegations and perceptions that a person may have looked high because they looked a bit scatterbrained. And the person is saying, I had one in the evening, you know, I struggled to sleep and I just, a puff and it helped me. And I'm laughing at this because I was listening to your discussion earlier. I mean, I have an issue with fibromyalgia, so I have tremendous joint and body pain. I don't take anything for it. And one person said, well, here's cannabis oil. And I said, no, but I do know that my doctor prescribed for me medication. I forget the name of the thing, but it was a horrible, tablet. I took one at 7 o'clock at night. I took one tablet, I took one tablet. Howard, I fell asleep within an hour. I dozed off. I woke up the next morning. I was driving my kids to school. I promise you, I fell asleep at every single traffic light. When I got there and the traffic lights were red, I literally dozed off and the kids would shake me and say, Dad, you got to go. And then I said, no more. I never took another one. Now, that's me trying to manage pain. So I had to eventually say, well, I'll just bear the pain, but I can't deal with the medication. It's not a drug, but it's a very powerful, you know, medication that I was given. What do you do? Mm-hmm. Because if you're struggling to fall asleep or you're struggling with pain, what is that person supposed to do? So I deal with the pain. I mean, I wake up at 3 o'clock. It's madness. I go to doctors and people say, yeah, we know we have body pain. There's a condition where you have body pain. We don't know what causes it. And, you know, some say it might be stress. It might be this. And people say manage stress, manage that. Mm-hmm. And it's all, you know, it's not things that you can actually do. How do you manage stress? How do you manage that? You can try. But the pain is there, and people say, yeah, but you know what? If you take some cannabis or cannabis oil, it'll be fantastic for you.
Mm. I think it's always about looking for a solution that doesn't make things worse, for a want of a better word. You know, if you are in pain, you want to solve the, you know, the pain. But if you're sleeping at the wheel, or you're not able to work and function in the world, then what's the point? We kind of are shooting ourselves in the foot. And I think that comes down to any kind of, and I'll certainly talk about psychiatric medication, that it's, you know, you don't want to take medication if you, you know, if you can avoid it, but it can and is useful in certain scenarios. But if the medication is going to not add value, not make you feel better, exponentially better, then the point
is,
then
there's no point. Isn't that the problem, that doctors are giving psychiatric medication for a non-psychiatric issue? Because when I look at Triptan, it's exactly that. Mm. Now, the challenge for me is that, yes, it may manage the pain, but the effects of it are so powerful. So yeah. I would rather go without the medication. Mm. So I'm sitting with the catch-22 where, you know, what do I do?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there are, I mean, many people talk about the benefits of yoga and it sounds like such a cliche, like yoga and going for Reiki, but it's amazing how people have actually managed pain, because the mind is a very, very powerful tool. But on that point, I think for me, I'll just only talk for psychiatric medication, is that it's certainly, and I've said this often, maybe controversially, is that it's not an exact science. It's an educated guess. Mm. And we are certainly not where we should be or need to be as far as that's concerned. And people do. It is a bit of a hit and miss. When it works, it can be life changing. But sometimes there's a process where people have side effects or it doesn't work, so we have to up the medication. It really is not an exact science and often not clean. There are side effects. So, you know, absolutely, we've got a very long way to go as far as that's concerned.
Unfortunately, we have to leave it there. Luba Makisa, Luba, good luck. Now we need to know how it goes, but we'll check in with you and find out.